NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is your Friday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, joined as always by Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. And Rachel, I don't know if you could hear it. I was in Nashville last week, so my voice is it's surviving the week as best I can. I don't know if it's evident.
Well, it's always a fun town to visit, so I hope you had a good time.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have a couple of times.
The music, I'm into country, but I didn't need every band to be country music. And I was stunned that it was more 50-50. Like, I was expecting everything to be country music. And there was a lot of other awesome music, rock and roll
bands. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 80s. Although I did feel like I heard Mr. Brightside probably 10 times too many last week. Every single band wanted to play that song. So, back from
It's a good karaoke song, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That one and it's escaping me every single time. It was another song that they played. It's escaping me right now. Maybe it'll come to me. Sweet Child of Mine is not the one I'm thinking of, but they played that every time too. So hockey is back. I'm back on the podcast here on Friday, and then me, Mike DiStefano, will be back, of course, on Tuesdays. We're gonna go through hot teams and cold teams to start the 2021-2022 NHL regular season. So let's kind of get right into it. We'll start with some of the teams that I think we could probably start with the teams that are not surprising, that are off to hot starts. And I think in the Eastern Conference, Florida and Carolina, I mean, not top of the list Stanley Cup contenders, but they were thought of as good teams coming in.
Absolutely. And I think that especially like with Carolina, you look at their opponents, they beat the Habs, they beat the Preds, and I think the Isles was the only quote unquote sort of top team that they've beaten so far. Although the game against the Habs was pretty fun just because Kotkaniemi scored and right. You know, did the HabsLose.com was yeah. was fun for them. So I think they're off to a good, solid start, but I feel like they still need to be tested a little bit more.
Yep. I think the goaltending also is going to be a big question mark for them going through the course of the season. They've only allowed 6 goals through 6 games. I was looking at a lot of analytics through the first couple of games, and expected goals for, they are like right at the top of the list, which would tell you that it's not all that fluky. Carolina, not too surprising to me. It's less surprising to me. Florida is undefeated. I love that team coming into the season. They are so deep down the middle. The goalie tandem we know is super talented. 4-game win streak to start the season. 1 win over Colorado, over Tampa, the Islanders, and the Penguins. Like, those are 4 quality wins.
Absolutely. I think, you know, the Flyers are playing Florida tomorrow night. Okay. And so I've been digging for like, where can we potentially gain an edge here? So their interesting weak points so far is that they're less than 50% on faceoffs won. So I'm hoping maybe the Flyers can capitalize and get some scores off set plays there. And then they've only converted on 13% of their power plays. So, and the Flyers penalty kill has been pretty decent. So they're looking so tough though, with so many weapons in their arsenal. Goaltending has been good. So yeah, they are going to be, I think, quite a juggernaut this season.
Yeah, .950 save percentage between Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight to start the year. Bobrovsky's had 3 starts, Knight 1. I still want to leave the door open that Knight will take that job over at some point, because Bobrovsky's had really two subpar seasons, I would say, since he got to Florida. But we know how talented he is, and if he has a bounce-back season this year, like, he's off to a great start so far. It'll be a lot tougher for Knight to kind of carve his way into the 35 to 40 game range and starts this season. Now, while we stay in the Eastern Conference, obviously I'll let you go first on them because I'm obviously spending every day on them. But what do you make of the Sabres being 3-0?
I think the Sabres are off to a real great start. Now, you look at their opponents, the Habs, the Yotes, and the Canucks that they've beat. Those are beatable teams.
Yes.
And not that the Sabres would have been predicted to beat all of those teams, but I think all of them are beatable teams. But on the other hand, Craig Anderson has been playing really well from my perspective. They have the lowest goals against per game in the league so far, which is pretty shocking.
Yeah.
So I am impressed, but I'm cautious.
I think that's the right way to be. And I would say Buffalo is pretty much the same thing. Like, I know Matt Larkin of the Hockey News and Ryan Lambert of Elite Prospects both had tweets this week that Sabre fans were perturbed by, that, like, homie, slow down on declaring the Sabres a playoff team, because I don't really think anybody here is doing that. They're just kind of not happy that they're winning even so much, that they're happy that there's a potential for a real hockey season here where you can actually be alive going into the month of January. Now, again, it's only three games, and you mentioned the opponents, not strong opponents. I guess the most optimistic way you could look at it right now is that not only are they beating these teams, but it's not fluky. Like, three years ago on that 10-game win streak the Sabres had, they were getting run over game after game after game when they climbed their way to first place. But they got incredible goaltending, and they were scoring on every power play, and they were winning like three or four shootout games. Like, it wasn't real the same way these first three performances have been, and it's less time. It's a third of the games played, but all three of these games, they've just dominated possession, dominated scoring chances. They're number one in the league in expected goals for right now. What are they in scoring chances for? They're fourth in the league in the percentage of the scoring chances that they're getting game to game. So, I don't think it's going to hold up, especially the goaltending. The goal scoring and the goaltending are the two things I just can't see sticking. I think they could be a good possession team. I think they probably have a good blue line, but is 40-year-old Craig Anderson going to make it 82 games? No. Or whatever. If 50 games, whatever he has to play, because, like, Dustin Tokarski is a good story, but I think there's a reason he had not made an NHL team out of training camp since 2014. So, and, like, he's your number two right now. That's your backstop. If Anderson starts to slide a little bit, I think the goaltending is going to probably come way down from where it's been so far. But we've got a season so far. Like, I'll take it, because it was looking like it was going to be horrific when we saw the roster to start the year. All right, so that's in the Eastern Conference. Now, if we were to jump over, or was there anybody else in the Eastern Conference that you were surprised that's been doing so well?
So, not undefeated teams, but I think if you put in the category of surprising, but slightly behind the others and maybe not sustainable, which is a lot of caveats, I would say Columbus and the Flyers are in that category. You know, Columbus is 3-1. You look at their opponents, the Yotes, the Kraken, but also beating the Isles in overtime. So, you know, not the strongest opponents, but again, they did beat the Isles. In that Isles game, Cole Sillinger had his first NHL goal. Line A seems to be rejuvenated a little bit, and I think maybe the Atkinson-Voracek deal had a little bit to do with that, that Voracek and Line A are playing really well together. And
there's Voracek, 4 assists in 4 games. I said, I thought he's going to have a 10-goal, 60-assist season. I could see that going for him.
Exactly. And obviously Columbus has strong goaltending. So, you know, I wouldn't count them out. Like, I wouldn't put them in the basement anymore, maybe.
Okay.
I think that, you know, if they can keep this up, again, who knows if it's sustainable. You got to look at them against more, you know, opponents that are more at the top of the list right now. But there's something to it, and I think they'll be fun, at the very least, because expectations are low.
Right.
And then, you know, for the Flyers, 2-0-1, currently have the most goals per game in the league right now at 5.33.
Right.
But, you know, they beat the Kraken. They had the overtime loss to the Canucks, but had a big comeback in that game. So there were some good things to take from that one. And then beat Boston 6-3, so, which is nothing to sneeze at. I think that it's not looking pretty sustainable now. If you look at the underlying numbers, the, you know, Corsi is low, expected goals is low.
Yeah.
The power play is meh right now, but they are doing some really good things and are approaching the game with a shoot first mentality. So maybe they can just outscore everybody, even if they lit in a bunch every game.
Yeah, they are dead last in the league in scoring chances. Sorry, second last in the league and fourth last in the percentage. So, right, that would, like, without seeing their games in close, that would tell me that they've run into some porous goaltending so far through the first three. Or really, that could just mean they're capitalizing on their opportunities, I guess is what that could mean.
Yeah, I would say the latter. I would say the latter. I mean, also, you know, Martin Jones is good to give up three every game, and he did. So there you go.
Also, saw Rasmus Ristolainen had an adventure of a first game, from what I saw on Twitter. At least Sabres Twitter was reacting to it. I don't know how bad it might have really been.
First game back after a little bit of a tweak injury, first game of the season for him. I'm not going to sweat that.
All right. And then if we head over to the Western Conference, teams that have started off really hot, Pacific Division, two undefeateds, the Edmonton Oilers are 4-0, and the San Jose Sharks are 3-0. And then in the Central, the Blues are 3-0, and the Minnesota Wild are 3-0. Easy to say the Sharks would be the most surprising of these four teams so far?
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, they beat the Sens, who are not the worst right now. The Habs and the Jets, they are tied with, yes. They're tied with Buffalo on the lowest goals against per game. And I think that they're just having fun right now. And I think Erik Karlsson, like the conversation around him has been back, obviously, because they played the Senators and, you know, who won that trade. And obviously, if you talk to Ottawa, they'll say they did. But I think that they're just, you know, again, I think with almost nothing to lose at this point, they're having fun and playing good hockey.
Yeah, and they've got 11 goals in the season, 9 different goal scorers so far. So pretty well-balanced attack throughout their lineup. Guys like I've never heard of, like Rudolph Balcers is scoring a goal. Jasper Weatherby, Andrew Caligliano is still in the league. Did not realize he was in San Jose. So pretty well-balanced attack, it looks like, in San Jose so far. Shots on goal. Really, it's Timo Meier, though, way at the top. Like, he's at 18 shots through three games. He's been generating a lot of scoring chances from what I've seen. And he's at 5 points in three games. Wow. So the Sharks, yeah, like, the goaltending, though, is one thing that's going to hold me up through the course of the season with Aiden Hill and James Reimer, whether or not that's going to be able to maintain throughout the season. Edmonton, interestingly, has been a little bit fluky in terms of the underlying numbers. Like, they are not that high in terms of scoring chances, expected goals for, they're near the bottom. But it's McDavid, right? It's Dreisaitl. Like, it's just the rest of their team could get run over all year. It's kind of what their blueprint has been, but the top two guys are so good and they just dominate possession when they're on the ice that, like, even though the numbers don't look great, I think they're good. Like, I think this is kind of what they are, you know?
I think the other part of it, too, is Koskinen. He's got a .959 save percentage so far. And Mike Smith is out, I think, right now. But I do think that Koskinen is playing well so far, and that will help them in the long run. Their opponents, again, have not been super stellar. I would say the Flames have been their best opponent so far. They played the Yotes, the Canucks, and the Ducks. Yeah. So, again, another one of these teams where if those top guys keep performing like that and they can just, like, slightly outscore the other team because of it, they'll be fine. But if they have any drop-off, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll get to some teams that have not started off the season all that well and whether or not we are surprised by that. But before we do that, we're going to take a timeout to tell you that this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. So many delicious flavors, cherry barcia, mint brownie, double chocolate. They just sent me a new box of a new flavor blueberry muffin that I got to try that I'm sure is good. My number one is cookie dough because they've got the actual pieces of cookie dough in the bars they're healthy. Check out the macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar and only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to built.com now and use the promo code locked on and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything pro and college football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive that bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Again, don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres and Rachel Donner from Locked On Flyers. Let's go through some of the teams that have struggled out of the gates for the 2021-2022 NHL season. And I think the first team we've got to lead off with is the 0-5 Montreal Canadiens. The first thing I thought of when I looked at them and their numbers and what they've done, because I saw them in the opener against the Sabres, but not really much sense. I know they lost the Sharks 5-0. Like, they're getting blown out, really, is what it is. And I immediately thought about how Marc Bergevin didn't get a contract extension coming into this season, the Montreal Canadiens general manager. And I think things could get blown up there. I'm not sure about the coach. Maybe he would be fine, but they're starting off horribly. I know they don't have Carey Price, but because the GM is on a one-year deal, I just think that could be a regime change if this continues to trend that way.
You're not wrong. I know there was some terrible Sharks are circling around Bergevin puns after that shutout against San Jose. But yeah, it's not looking good there. And I think like some of the little pieces that sparked them to that playoff run last year are just not doing the same thing. That they're just kind of discombobulated out on the ice and can't seem to put sustained pressure together at all. And if you can't like get anything going like that or have a system that's working for you, you're just going nowhere. And yeah, I am very curious to see what they do in the next little stretch. Like, can they pick the pieces up and turn it around?
Me too. They can't score goals right now. Like, Drouin's got two. They've got four total through five games. It's really the point that needs to be made. But Josh Anderson isn't scoring. Christian Dvorak, who they picked up in the offseason, isn't scoring. The Suzuki, Caulfield even. Like, Caulfield, who was dynamite down the stretch of last year and in the playoffs scoring goals, once he showed up from the college ranks, he's pointless through five games. And on 13 shots, he's got nothing. So, like, a lot of those guys are going to have to turn things around. Gallagher, I should mention too, has got 0 points in five games. So they've got talented guys. They're just not putting the puck in the back of the net for whatever reason right now. And I think a lot of it is they're not generating a lot of scoring chances. So would you say you're surprised by their 0-5 start though? Like, it's not stunning to me, but I wouldn't have picked them at the bottom of the league.
No, I think it's more that a couple of their opponents have been surprising on the good side and picked up wins against them that I wouldn't have expected, like the Sabres and like the Sharks.
Right.
Right. Those are teams that I would have expected the Habs to beat, but just because the Habs aren't clicking, those other teams got some opportunities.
Right. So basically everybody else in the Eastern Conference, like, they're doing fine. Like, the Devils are 2-1, the Islanders even, like, slow start, but 1-2-1. I wouldn't be panicking there. Boston's only played two games, so you can't really fault them for only having 2 points. Ottawa 2-2, fine. Tampa 2-2. I'm not ready to hit the panic button at all, obviously, on them. So the Western Conference is really where we got to turn here. And let's start with the Central Division, where really, I would say the three teams we want to talk about here all lie. The Avalanche at 1-3, the Coyotes at 0-3-1, the Blackhawks at 0-4-1. Arizona, not stunning. I think I picked them to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah,
so that one's not surprising. But maybe to differing degrees, Chicago and Colorado would be surprises to the year. I think there's trouble in Chicago, and I would be surprised by the Colorado start, but I'm not thinking they're in trouble. What about you?
Yeah, with the Avalanche, it's a little interesting. You know, they won against Chicago, our other terrible team in the Central, but they lost to pretty high quality teams in the Blues, the Caps, and the Panthers. And, you know, they did run into a small COVID situation at the beginning of the season. McKinnon was out in protocol for a while, so that's going to hurt you. Landeskog got suspended for a game. So I think that you're right there, that there's no reason to panic right now, but they do need to get something going just to turn it around. But I wouldn't be too worried about them. I think it's Chicago where they really need to look and see what's going on there.
The one other thing I just want to say in Colorado is their goaltending. They paid a big price to get Darcy Kemper there in the offseason to replace Philip Grubauer, and he is not off to the hottest start at an 890 save percentage through three games. And Jonas Johansson is their backup goaltender, who I've always questioned whether or not he was in Buffalo for a few years. So I know him pretty well, and he was never really able to crack the NHL lineup. And he didn't do a lot last year to me to earn an NHL job, but he's their plan B right now. But Chicago, right, is the team that is like right there with Montreal. Like, this season could get away from them fast. And they've lost to Vancouver and New Jersey and the Islanders, who have started slow. They lost by three at home. Is there enough talent there to overcome this? And I would want to hazard to guess that the answer to that question is no. There's a lot of great players at the top of the lineup. The depth is not there. And like Rachel, I just feel like the top players, even though they're still good players, they're not in their primes anymore. I don't think they can lift up an entire team like they used to be able to.
No, not at all. I think that it's going to be a difficult road for them this season.
Yeah. Kirby Doc, by the way, is playing up at the top of the lineup. So maybe he's one guy I'd want to give credit to being able to kind of ascend. Fleury, too. Like, that's the big thing. Like, Fleury hasn't given them saves. He's an 840 save percentage. He's not getting a lot of help because they're giving up, I just had that in front of me, scoring chances against. They're number one in the league. So they're giving up the most scoring chances in the league. So it's not all on Fleury.
Right. Well, bringing back Erik Gustafsson was probably not a good idea.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
And Seth Jones has not been playing that great.
No. And he's logging 26 minutes a night. So you better hope he's playing great, because he's literally playing half the game. So their blue line is definitely struggling, and that's definitely hurting them a lot right now.
Another thing that they have accomplished in a bad way is apparently five straight games without holding a lead.
Really? I didn't have that. They haven't even held a lead in five games.
Mm-mm.
That is painfully hard. I can't believe that you can even, that's hard to do over a five game stretch. They have Detroit on Sunday as their next game at home. That's a pretty good opportunity to get right, I would say. Although Detroit's been okay to start the year as well. But that's going to do it for us today in the Locked On NHL podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Rachel is at our Miriam. Thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Host Scott Cullen leans on his decades of fantasy hockey insight and experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It's free and available on all platforms.